Here it is. We're ending one year and going to another. And when you think about the year that we're going into, 2020, how many of you think of 2020 and you think about the news show, 2020, Nightline, 2020? Or you think about 2020 and you think about vision. I want 2020 vision. I want that perfect vision. Some of us don't have 20/20 because we got to sport the glasses or the contacts. Some of us had to get LASIK in order to get good vision. Still don't got 20/20, but it's about vision. And Pastor Jen alluded to it this morning, and it was all over me in prayer too, is thinking back of the 20/20 and Pastor just 20/20 vision for this church. How many of you remember when we were Rohi Temple of Reconciliation? Y'all remember that? RTR, that's right. Some of us that came up through midnight basketball. How many of us remember this? Coming in because of the penny saver. Y'all remember this? Like, we don't even get publications anymore. But man, it's been a long time, 20 years being in ministry, 20 years that I've actually had the privilege of being in this church. And man, it's just been such a ride, such a privilege. And but again, the vision, just to think about it. RTR's 2020 vision. I try to find it, but I'm going to try to get it from memory as best as I can. Some of y'all who are with me can help me. 2020 vision is to be a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-filled church, a 3,000-member church at that, that ministers to the lost, hurt, broken in East San Jose and throughout the world. Is that right? So, or close enough, but do we see that we are still living out that vision in this day and age? A multi-ethnic church, economically diverse, spirit-filled. Now we're discipleship-oriented. Remember, that wasn't in the original vision, but it got cast later on. And we are still doing the vision that God had given us, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Shana, 20 years ago. That this vision is still living and active this day and age. And when we think about the goodness of God, like I couldn't help but just be overwhelmed. Hopefully I can get through this message. Overwhelmed of how thankful I am to God. Thank Him, going back to just thank you, Lord. How many of y'all remember that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Y'all remember that? I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way. And yes, I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. It's been a long time. But I just thank God for just this season of life, this year, this decade that we're moving into. But you can't thank Him for the future if you don't thank Him for the past and what He's doing in the now. Amen. So let me pray, and then we'll get right into the Word. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. For Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, we really couldn't thank you enough for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and for all that you're going to do. But Lord, with the one that we do have, we thank you for just your abundant mercy and grace upon this church, upon our families, and upon each individual in the room. Thank you for just being God all by yourself, that we can't add to you and we can't take away, that you are God and you are who you say that you are. For every need that we've had, you've given. For every promise, you've kept. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, set me aside, Lord God, that this message would be preached with conviction, Lord God, to just deliver the sound of your voice to your people, Lord God. And may you get glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get right into it. This morning, if you got your electronic device or your Bible, see, most of us have gone electronically already. Some of us still had the paper Bible. But let's hold them up high in the air. And I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 13. But if you go to Ecclesiastes 1, in 1:1 it says, the author writes, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. So if any time during this message you get convicted and you want to throw daggers at me, don't blame me. Blame Solomon. You take it up with him when you get to heaven, all right? This is Solomon's message, Ecclesiastes. But before we get started, let's go ahead and stand to our feet if you're physically able to stand. Let's do our Bible affirmation and let's get into this word. Again, Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 13. But let's go ahead and do our Bible affirmation. Amen? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Now let's go ahead and read Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 13. We're reading out a New King James Version, and if you have a different Bible, don't worry about it, because the words are going to be up here on the screen for you. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and read. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you go back to the beginning of Ecclesiastes 3, it's penned and titled, Everything Has Its Time. And in 1 and 2, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die. Do you ever find yourself wondering about your purpose or your God-given task, which we'll find out in 9 through 13? Or does it seem like that purpose changes with every passing season? I mean, for me, it looks like, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm a son, I'm a brother, uncle, godfather, son-in-law, whatever. Pastor, preacher, teacher, small group leader. There's all of these roles that we put on. And I find myself thinking, am I qualified? Now, because this is youth service, I get to have a little bit of fun. So, Jeffrey, if you would, come up to the stage for me. Because even though as adults, we get into it and we realize how busy we are, but we forget how busy our kids are. Now, I picked on Jeffrey. Why? Because here it is. We would think that all Jeffrey has to do is go to school and that's it. Right? He you know, mom takes care of him, so he has no worries. But, Jeffrey has to worry about school. Jeffrey has to worry about, is he not a student athlete? He's an athlete, so he has to worry about sports. He's a son of God. Let's go ahead and give him that balloon there because he's a son of God. He's a brother. Not only a son of God, a son of Shana. And let's go ahead and give him that one because he's a great guy for being in this demonstration. But how many of us know that even in amongst of all that juggling, there's things that we sometimes put on ourselves that we try to juggle on our own accord? And so how many of you have been remember how what it used to be like to be in high school? Now, let's go ahead and keep it real. Girls and boys, go ahead and hold that. Go ahead and hold that. That's not my problem, Jeffy. Figure it out. Let me see. What else we got? Drugs, alcohol. What other struggles we had? Grades, peer pressure. That's a good one. Social media. Oh, wow. Fashion. Now, as good of an athlete as he is, he did a pretty good job. He still has some balloons, and he dropped some. But that's what I want to get us off the hook. We're going to go through times and seasons in our lives where balls are going to fall. It is what it is. Balls are going to fall. But the fact is, which ones are the priorities? Which ones are we going to pick up? Which ones are we going to keep hold of that keeps us doing our God-given task? So when it comes to, I see that you're still holding on to sex, and I see that you're holding on to drugs, and you're holding on to social media. You might have to let those go because you got Son of God, you got, Son of Shana, you have athlete. But school is down here on the ground. Wouldn't you say that you need school more than you need drugs? Let's see here. I think we need the favor of God. Oh. And even that becomes a juggle. But he's maintaining. By the grace of God, he is maintaining. And that's what we got to realize, is that there's this stuff, these evils that are around us that wants to overwhelm us and take us over and cause us to drop what we need to pick up. That's the season in our life that we're in. But guess what? Sorry about that. Thank you, Jeffrey. We get to choose what we get to keep. We get to choose what we get to... I'm going to pop it. Don't freak out on me. No, I'm not even going to do it anymore. Thank you, Jeffrey. See, in our lives, what does that look like as for us, those of us that are adults? Family life, our personal life, our social life, spiritual life, work life. We juggle too. And then we add all these things upon us and burden ourselves out. But again, balls are going to fall. Just prioritize which ones to pick up. See, believe me, if I had my choice in my world, I probably would go back to the days of old when I just get to sit around and play video games and watch movies all day. I still do. But I don't do it like I used to. See, it's those given opportune to moments. See, I know what I need to do and what I have to do, and I prioritize that as opposed to what I want to do. See, when my want to's becomes what I need to and what I have to do, then I feel like I'm doing what God has purposed me to do. See, my wants may want to be this, and may want to be this, and may want to be this. But when it comes to that time when what I need to do is be a good father, be a good husband, be a good leader, be a good example, I got to do what I need to do. And those balls won't purposely drop, but I'm going to try my best to do what God has called me to do. That is my purpose in life. Because to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose, and a time to be born and a time to die. And like Pastor Jeff used to say, in between that born day and that day that you die is the dash. So what did you do with your dash? You don't have to answer that now, obviously, because you're still alive. But praise God that he has given us time. That's the one thing that we get, because we are still living, we're still breathing, we're still active. We got time. Time to put down the old things and pick up the new things of God. Pick up those things that are causing us to struggle in our relationship with God, and pick up those things that he's called us to do, our God-given task. See, this past season in my life, God actually orchestrated this passage of scripture to be kind of like my personal soundtrack of my life. Y'all know how musically inclined I am, so everything is music. I mean, there used to be times when I used to think like I was, and I used to think I was Shaft. Or more like the Terminator. And I had everything under control. I was raw. I was good. Feeling like Rocky. But for whatever reason, things have been taking place in my life over this past season, and it's been drawn to scripture. It's been the weirdest thing for me, because like I said again, I think musically, but this season has been scriptural. Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 10, it says, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied," which brings me to my first point. It's time to see the profit in what we do. Again, it's time to see the profit in what we do. See, the profit is, and it's funny, we were talking about the profit as far as like in the church, but profit, we're talking about the advantage. We're talking about the gain, the betterment, the excellency, the profitability, what one has over and above. See, now most of us can relate, because we could relate to being a worker or a laborer, an employee. And we go to our workplace, we do our job, we get paid our paycheck, right? And it just becomes this cycle of we go, we work, get paid, repeat, we go, we work, we get paid, repeat, right? And it becomes this cycle of just going through the motions. But how many of you know that being profitable is more than just a paycheck? It's more than a paycheck. See, in the process, how are we profiting the company we work for? Is that workplace better because we're there? Is there a standard of excellence that you're displaying at work? How are we providing the advantage for our company, or are we taking advantage of our company? What do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked. Do we find ourselves taking long breaks or surfing the internet, being on personal phone calls during company hours? Believe me, your social media will be there when you get off hours. Believe me, I've been doing it for years. See, how many of you realize, like, I'm not ignoring you, but if you text me or email me after 5 o'clock a.m., notice that I don't get back to you after 3 o'clock p.m., not because I'm ignoring you, it's because I shut down. I don't carry my phone with me, and I don't do any personal business until after. I'm on company time. I'm respecting my company time out of my honor for God. See, that's seeing the profit of what I do. See, I see it as a prophet because it is my God-given task. He gave me that job. So why would I dishonor God by dishonoring the place that he's given me as a provision of work? He was the one who enabled me to get wealth. So why would I dishonor him by dishonoring my workplace? See, as the word says in verse 10, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Again, since I believe that God has blessed me with this job, which is the God-given task, as a child of God, I ought to be occupying my time doing it with excellence. See, again, in Colossians 3, 23 through 24, it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. See, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, some of us go to work and then we come home discouraged because we focus on who we work for without knowing who we really work for. See, how many of us are honest enough to say, I don't have a good boss? And we focus on the man boss and we forget who we work for, who we truly serve. I know what it's like not to get appreciation at work. Well, not from my boss. My boss is actually pretty good at it. She has a way of just sending her staff emails and text message, or not text message, but emails and stuff that lets her staff know, like, you guys are doing a good job, and giving us, like, the whole scope outlook of the corporate picture, the corporate big picture. She does a really good job at that. But because I work in kind of in the service industry, I do a lot and don't get the thank yous or the attaboys for the service that I provide. But that's okay. I don't work for them. I work for him. And that's what we got to remember. That's when we see the prophet of our God-given task. It's not about them, it's about him. Now, if you don't happen to have a boss like my boss, or as I look at Joel, Pastor Shane's boss, you got a good boss. You might not have a good boss, but this word doesn't give you a license to go back to your workplace and disrespect your boss. This should cause you to be more honorable, to go back to your workplace with more excellence. And young people, even though I'm talking about work, this don't elude you neither. What about when you go to school? Don't be going back to school disrespecting them teachers. I think that I was one of those kids that thought I knew more than the teacher. Pastor Jen, I was that kid. But I thank God for allowing me to see the error of my ways. I didn't know it all. And young people, we don't know it all, even though we think we know it all, but we don't. We don't know it all. So get over yourselves. It's not about you. Respect those teachers. Instead of disrespect them, appreciate what they're doing for you. Appreciate the fact that they're giving of their time to set forth a lesson plan and teach you the things of which you're going to need later on in life. Now, most of us may understand that, yeah, some of us that got the trig and got the calculus, and you may not need this now as an adult, but at least your basic first grade, second grade, third grade teacher of adding and learning how to do the math, adding, subtracting, we use that. Multiplication, we use that. Division, we use that. So remember, in Psalm 75, 6 through 7, it says, for exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he puts down one and exalts another. So I'll remind you, it's time to see the prophet in what we do for that is our God-given task. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, going there, he said, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. My second point, it's time to see the beauty of God at work in our life. Now, I got one more illustration. I'm going to actually ask Brielle to come up here and do it for me because she's already done it. Come here. Now, for those of you that like puzzles, you like putting together puzzles, like I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to just depend on her because she's already done it for me. So just go ahead and open it up and put that together for me. Okay. Again, it's time to see the beauty of God at work in our life. The word says everything, right? So like my kids, like Bailey, she likes to say do the math, right? So when you say everything and you hear everything, is everything less than, greater than, or equal to some? This is a question. Is everything less than, equal to, or greater than some? It's greater than, right. Is everything less than, greater than, or equal to most? Greater than. What about this one? Is everything less than, greater than, or equal to all? Equal. All right. So if God has made everything beautiful, based on that passage, I could close the book, walk off the stage, and ask who's coming with me. Because everything hasn't been beautiful in my life. Anybody with me? Too much ugly stuff has been done to me to discredit everything being beautiful. But wait a minute. Wait a second. What about the sin and ugly stuff that I've done? The stuff that I've done to discredit everything being beautiful. I don't know. But when I read Psalms 103, 8 through 12, he, the Lord, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Why does he do this for us? I don't fully understand. But I tell you what, when I read 3 John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, I'm reminded of how much he loves us, how much he loves me. And finds the beauty that he created in me. See, he has given us eternity because he loves us. And if he should have, or if you should still have that question when you get to heaven, you ask him. However, with the time that we do have here in this earth, even though you may not know the full picture of what God is doing in your life, he knows. And know that whatever it is, it's beautiful. I know we can look back over our lives and recognize some things, some ugliness, some sin. But again, God says that it's beautiful. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has done something miraculous in our lives by creating us in our mother's womb. And if God says that we're beautiful, who are we to say that we're not? Are you going to trust yourself or are you going to trust God? Are you going to take God at his word or are you going to take your own? I am beautiful. I am loved. I am a child of God. And if that's who he says I am, then that's who I am. That's what we got to get into the fact of the matter of he's created something beautiful. And this picture is something beautiful. It's actually a beach oasis. It has, if you could see it, it has like the palm trees and the white sandy beaches and the ooh, it looks like Jamaica. With, oh wait, you're not done, no. Oh, you're missing a piece. Because we don't get the whole picture, God gets the whole picture. God completes us. And God causes us to be beautiful. Not because of what we think we are. We think that we're missing something. We think that we're incomplete. It's an incomplete puzzle. So why should we even keep a puzzle that's missing a piece? Let's go ahead and throw it away. It's all for nothing. Taking up space. But God completes us. God has completed us for such a time as this. This is our time. This is our season to see ourselves as beautiful in God's eyes. Because he sees us as beautiful in his eyes. We need to see ourselves as beautiful in our own eyes. We are complete. We are whole. And it's nothing that we could do. It's all because of what he's already done. Thank you, love you. So seeing ourselves beautiful, that is our God-given task. In Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13, it says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. My last point today is time to see that what I get to do as a gift of God. Anyone else like to eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of your labor? You get the right to enjoy that steak. Enjoy that lobster. Enjoy that cake. Or as Pastor Alex, enjoy that coffee, yo. Enjoy the good of all your labor. It is a gift from God. So this season, being able to be Brielle's coach, her basketball coach, has truly been a gift of God for me. Of course, I had no intentions on coming out of coaching retirement. But because she's on the team, they needed a coach, they needed somebody to step in, and so there I am, getting pulled back in. But I'm enjoying this gift from God. I say I'm enjoying this gift from God because now I get to go on a road trips with my child. We get to go on road trips and strategize. But I've gotten to see her sportsmanship. I've gotten to see her leadership, her ability of playing, getting better. I've even got to witness her humility in winning and in her ownership in taking losses. I know that I tell you often, but here's at least one more time. I'm proud of you. But also, the fruit of my labor, I've had the privilege of just teaching and coaching not only her, but her teammates. And it warmed my heart to receive gifts and words of encouragement and appreciation from some of the players and parents. I thought that was just great. And so that's why I feel that what I get to do is a gift from God. That is my God-given task. See, like I said, getting to be a husband is a gift of God. Getting to be a father is a gift of God. Getting to live for God is a gift for God. To work for a living is a gift from God. To be who God has called you to be, that is the gift from God. We got to see ourselves that what we get to do truly is a gift from God. And so as I close, I'll close going back to Ezekiel 3, 1 through 2. Everything has a time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And since we're still alive, God has given us this time to work out our dash, to remind us, it's time to see the prophet in what we do. It's time to see the beauty of God at work in our lives. And it's time to see that what we get to do as a gift of God, that is our God-given task. Amen? Praise God.
All right, praise the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. As you close out this year, let's see the gift of time that God still has for us. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, to make the most of every opportunity. And so the question is, as you leave 2019 and move into 2020, what are you going to do different to make the most of the opportunity of the gift of time that you have? If you're here today, come on up, our prayer team. If you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, or maybe you have and you've kind of strayed away, there's no greater way to make the gift of time and to utilize it than to return your hearts back to Jesus Christ, or to come to Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, what I'm going to ask you to do, just every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you're like, you know what, I don't want to waste any more time. I really want to honor God going into 2020. I want to prioritize. I want to make him Lord of my life. If you've never done that, or if you've maybe walked away and you're saying, I want to just refresh, re-kick that start, I want you to raise your hand because we want to pray for you. If that's you, just lift your hands in the air. We want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, for those with their hands raised, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to renew our faith and renew our commitment to you. Lord, as we leave 2019, I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would just give us a joy for you. Give us a thirst for you. May we redeem the gift of time that you've given to us, Holy Lord. And may we, Lord, use it for your kingdom-building purposes. May we find joy. May we see the prophet. May we see that it's beautiful that we have this opportunity to serve you and to love you. Now, Lord, as we leave 2019 as a church, I declare over us that it is finished. There are some things, that we've been dealing with, and I just declare that you cannot chase us into 2020, that you must stay in 2019. I declare that the depression must stay here in 2019. I declare that sadness, I declare that hopelessness, that worry, that unforgiveness all remain here in 2019, and we release over this church, Father God, a new season. I declare it is a new season as we cross over to 2020. This is a year of fulfillment. This is a year where God is moving and doing supernaturally things that we could never do. We prophesy over 2020 that 2020 will not only be the best year, but the beginning of the best decades of our life. We prophesy that we will not be stressed with the things that have been keeping us down, those little black balloons. I declare in the name of Jesus that we take authority over every one of those forces that are coming against us. And Father God, I release over us a joy to serve you. I release over us a provision of happiness. I release over us, Father God, freedom. I release over us release. I release over us breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in 2020 in every aspect of our lives, locally, corporately, individually, and globally. We release that on the body of Christ right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore.